like to read, please, in the book of Romans, in chapter 5. Book of Romans, chapter 5, and we'll read at verse 6. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now back to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. And verse 16. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And then finally, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2. The book of Hebrews, chapter 2, and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, and reading at verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. The Lord will bless, I'm sure, what we've heard tonight already, and trust help now in these closing minutes of the meeting. I'm thinking of Romans chapter 5, very simply, of no exception. The Bible's very clear and very plain that there's absolutely no exception, for all have sinned. That's what we read in Romans 5. And verse 12, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, and so there's no exception. When we come to Luke's Gospel chapter 14, I'm thinking there tonight a little bit on no excuse. These men that were invited, these people that were told about this supper that was all prepared and all and was made ready, the invitation went out, and the invitation was sounded. They were invited to come, for all things were now ready. And they began to make excuse. But the sentence was passed upon them, None of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. There was no excuse that was accepted. Then when we come to Hebrews chapter 2, of course, I think there is no escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's what brought before us by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 2. No escape. How shall we escape? When we've been reminded tonight already of very solemn things. We've been told tonight and pointed to us concerning some of the truths of the Word of God from the Scripture, some very solemn truths that should stir our hearts tonight. You know, if I sat in this meeting, I thought as I sat in this meeting, if I wasn't saved tonight, why, looking at it, I would be put in a hurry for God's salvation. You know, as I mentioned one other night, the first gospel meeting that I sat in 1969 of that series of meetings that came to that little place in Oxford, Nova Scotia, yonder there out on the east, the very first gospel meeting that I sat in that series, the Spirit of God, I understand now that it was God that spoke to my soul, that spoke to my heart, and I couldn't get away, couldn't escape the thought that was impressed upon my mind, David, this is your series of gospel meetings. And you know, friend, just as sure as I'm standing here before you tonight, I'm just as sure that if I hadn't have gotten saved in 1969 in a series of gospel meetings that God had brought right into the area of Oxford, that tonight, friend, would either find me in eternity or in hell in eternity, or would find me on the way there just as quick as time could carry me. And as I look back tonight, I would almost guarantee that I would be in eternity tonight, and I would be with those that have rejected God's way, God's salvation, and I'd have been in hell tonight. And I would readily acknowledge in the company, in the audience of every person in this meeting, if I hadn't have gotten saved in those series of meetings, when God began to deal with my soul, when God spoke to my heart, and I was awakened to my need of God's salvation, God stopped me on the road of life that I was traveling, brought me face to face with the greatness of eternity, and my soul going somewhere forever. And friend, I had to get the matter settled. I wonder, is someone in this, maybe in this meeting tonight, this is your opportunity? God has brought these meetings along right in this month of February into a place called Victoria Drive, right at an opportune time in your life where you're going to hear the gospel, you're going to be stopped in the way that you're going, you're going to be reminded about these eternal matters, going to be reminded of that which lies ahead of the individual that misses God's great salvation. It matters not, friend, whether the person is born out on the street somewhere and doesn't know the gospel so well as you know it, or brought up in a favored home in this favored land under the sound of the gospel and knows gospel verses and knows gospel preaching and could preach the gospel and could tell somebody else how to get saved, could tell a person sitting on the seat beside you tonight how to get saved, could quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And you could quote that verse, friend, and yet you're going into eternity. And if you miss God's great salvation, perhaps this is your opportunity tonight. It would stir our hearts tonight, friend, to understand in a little measure a man or a woman, a boy or a girl could be getting their last call for God's salvation, for heaven, could be getting them in this series of gospel meetings that has come to this place. And I would value tonight that the people in this area, the Christians that gather here in the Lord's name in this building, would be exercised about the preaching of the gospel at this time. And these meetings are not just by chance, friend. These meetings are not just a whim of a notion, but this would be an exercise of the people of God, that God would move into the life and heart of individuals, and that souls might be reached, and that they might be saved. And could we be speaking tonight to a person, perhaps, that these meetings have come to this area for? Well, I look back on my little case, and I thank God for those meetings. There was a number of souls that got saved in those meetings. God worked in those meetings. Friend, not by chance that God moved through and worked in those meetings and exercised and burdened the hearts of God's people that souls might get saved. Why, to think of some, perhaps one in this meeting tonight, friend, and what we've been reminded of to cross that pillar of death. How do we know when that brittle thread of life is going to break? You and I are enjoying health and strength tonight. You and I are traveling the road of life, and everything is going fine. And it seems like why there's not a cloud on the horizon as far as our life is concerned. We're intelligent as far as this life is concerned, and getting along well in school or university or on the job or on the work, and everything is going our direction. But how do we know, friend, when that little brittle thread of life is going to break at any moment?
You and I, either one of us, any of us, could be ushered from time out into eternity. We could breathe our last in this life, and we could go out into that great beyond. Do you know why that is? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know where that began? That began way back in the garden. The very first man in the world created by the hand of God. God breathed into that man's nostrils a breath of life, and he became a living soul. A living soul, friend, accountable to God. And in that person of you tonight, there's a soul that is going to live eternally, friend, in heaven above or in hell beneath forever. I found that out on my little journey of life. David, you have a soul that's going to be in heaven above or in hell beneath for the eternal ages. And you're going to stand at this great white throne one day if you miss God's salvation. And you're going to hear those words we've been reminded of. Depart from me, for I never knew you. No matter how much gospel I knew, no matter how favored I was in the home that I was brought up in, no matter how good a preaching that I had listened to sitting under the sound of the preaching of the gospel, no matter how many verses in the Bible that I could quote, friend, I often thought that I'd be in the great eternity with verses of scripture running through my mind with an opportunity to be saved and had missed it. I would curse the day, friend, that I'd ever been born. I would curse the day that I ever rejected God's great salvation. And I want to tell you tonight, you'll curse the day that you ever heard the gospel. As it rings through your minds through the countless ages of eternity, I could have been lost, and I missed it. John 3:16. That lovely verse we've heard quoted and read and preached on since these meetings started, friend. The verse that could save the whole world tonight. A verse that could save every person in this gospel meeting. I saw a girl in the meeting get saved through John 3:16. That verse hung on the front of Mr. William Bingham, known to most, had the tent for years. And he's had this text, John 3:16, he said that's a monument, or that's the relic of this, and you can tell it's been around a long time, but it's John 3:16, the Word of God, the verse, and it hung in the front of that pulpit, and preaching the gospel. A girl in the gospel meeting who knew John 3:16, had been brought up under John 3:16, and reading that verse, convicted of her sin, she understood why God loves me, the guilty sinner. And she began to cry in the meeting. We thought she was troubled. Hearing the gospel, listening to the gospel, she began to cry, and she said afterwards, she said, I've got something to tell you. So we said, what is it? She said, I got saved in the meeting tonight. Well, that's good news to hear. Got saved in the meeting tonight. A girl of about 12 years of age. Anybody here 12 in this meeting tonight? Why, you could be saved in this gospel meeting. John 3:16, she was reading it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it dawned on her soul, why, God loves me, and Jesus died for me, and it takes me in. And she began to cry. She said, you saw me crying in the meeting? Of course, some did. She said, I wasn't crying because I wanted to get saved. But she said, I began to cry because when I got saved, it just seemed so simple. She said, I could hardly believe it. I could hardly take it in. It was so simple that Jesus died for me. I want to tell you, friend, it's a reality. God's salvation is a reality, a real thing. To be saved, and a real thing to know it. Do you know it tonight? Is it a real thing in your life? You say, how would I know if I got saved? If I asked you tonight, how would you know if you got saved? Well, there's only one way of knowing, really, and that's the Word of God. The blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross is sufficient to meet the need, to put away the sin of a guilty world. And the Word of God, friend, makes me sure of it. Why, I wouldn't know that God loved me if it wasn't in the Word of God. I wouldn't know that I needed to be saved if it wasn't in the Bible. I wouldn't know that Christ died for my sins, and the blood of Christ would keep me from going down to eternal ruin and eternal judgment if it wasn't in the Bible. And I wouldn't know that when I put my rest at my all for eternity on the work of the Lord Jesus, that that's sufficient, friend, to take me to heaven on the work and value of the precious blood of God's beloved Son. And nothing else will do. God will accept no other way. We've been hearing of good works tonight. We've been hearing of doing the best we can. We've been hearing of turning over a new leaf. Friend, the whole business, you can scrap the whole thing. For it's no good whatsoever in the sight of God. You know what God is looking for tonight? He's looking for a person who will bow his head and bow his will, be in the presence of God and cry, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner," as the man in the Bible cried. Peter one day was going down in the water. See the drowning man, Peter? He's going down and he cries, "Lord, save me." Well, that's what God's looking for tonight. Looking for a person who wants to be saved, who wants their sins forgiven, and who wants to find mercy. There's a God that's offering mercy tonight. Friend, any person in this meeting that would like to be saved? Friend, would you like to have God's salvation tonight? What would your answer be? Well, the Bible declares that there's no exception. For all have sinned. And you're not going to hell tonight because of Adam's sin. And I wasn't going to hell because of Adam's sin. I'm going to hell for my own sin. Sinned against God. The life that I was living, friend, deserved the judgment of God. That's why I'm responsible to God. Of my destiny for the eternal ages. What will I do with Christ? What will you do with the Lord Jesus tonight? God sent him from heaven. That's the message of the gospel. God sent his Son down from heaven. Christ Jesus came into the world. The Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. And he suffered, bled, and died hanging on the cross then of Calvary. Why? Why did he die on the cross? If there was any other way of salvation, why would he die on the cross? Why would he suffer at Calvary? Why would he enter into something, friend, that just defies our even beginning to enter into the sufferings of the Lord Jesus at Calvary? We couldn't begin to comprehend what the Lord Jesus endured and suffered and bore when he bore our sins, when God punished him, when the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all, when he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Why would he go to Calvary, friend, if there was some other way? By common sense alone should answer that question. There's no other way. There is but one way to heaven. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And we'll either be saved through God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, or, friend, we will not be saved at all. It's either Christ or nothing. It is either accepting the gift that we've been reminded about tonight, or it's missing it entirely. And Hebrews 2 reminds us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? My friend, we just trust. Sometimes it touches our hearts a little bit at least. Why, we just thank God sometimes when our hearts are moved, when we feel at least the weight a little bit, the weight of the need of men and women and boys and girls. Some in this meeting tonight, friend, and if you miss this great salvation, why, it's an eternal ruin. If you miss this great salvation that God is offering tonight in this meeting, it's an eternal damnation. And there's no hope. And there's no reruns. And there's no second chance. Friends, you need to go in for God's salvation with all your heart. You need to make it number one. You need to make it first in your life and foremost. The men in Luke chapter 14, they began to make excuse. One excuse after another. "Come to, but I've got a piece of land and I've got to go see it. And I've got some oxen and I've got to go prove them." Why, it doesn't even make sense.
the excuses that they were making. And in the sight of God, friend, God does not accept the excuses that these men made. And there's people makes excuses to in the world tonight. What's your excuse? Sometimes it's a friend. Why, what will my friend think if I get saved? Or what will my parents think if I get saved? Or what will my wife think if I get saved? Or what will my husband, if my husband would get saved, why I would get saved? Or if my wife got saved, I would get saved. If my brother or sister got saved, then I'd get saved. Well, after I get a little older, then I'll get the matter settled. When I get married, why, and settle down and start to raise a family, I'll have time then to look into this matter. Nonsense, friend. There's never any opportune time with the devil. He'll do anything and everything to keep you from thinking about God's salvation. Do you know what God says? God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And we hope that someone in this gathering tonight will just stop in your little journey of life. As you're traveling this road of life that's so busy and so filled with everything, and friend, just stop for a moment and consider your eternal welfare. Where are you going to be in eternity? Well, I'm glad I stopped in my little life. Made a lot of changes. I needed a lot of changes. And I want to tell you, friend, I don't regret for a moment that I came to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, that God in His mercy stopped me. I remember some nights coming home on the weekends, on the wee hours of the morning, thinking about eternity, and seeing a vehicle coming down the highway in the opposite direction, and I'd pull the car over and stop, and waited until that vehicle went by, air traveling along and passing that other vehicle within a few feet, that something would happen, and that car would smash into my vehicle and usher me into eternity. That's what I was thinking about eternity. Never thinking as I pulled over and stopped, that car could still plunge into my vehicle, but I was thinking about eternity. Are you thinking about eternity tonight? Ever think about what it's going to be like when you breathe your last in this life and you take that solemn, long leap into the great eternity? Well, friend, it's so important that it's all settled. It's so important that you get it right with God tonight. That you're sure, 100% sure. Anything less than 100% sure, friend, is no good. We want you to be 100% sure, and God wants you to be 100% sure that all is well for eternity. I'm going to be in heaven, friend. I'm going to be in heaven because the Lord Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and God has declared it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, 100%. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For when we were yet without strength, couldn't save ourselves, without strength to do anything for heaven, Christ died for the ungodly. Boy, that took me in. When Christ died for the ungodly, why, He died for me. Can you appreciate that tonight? Well, if not, in Hebrews chapter 2, no escape. You know, the person that misses God's salvation, the Bible declares that there's absolutely no escape. Apart from God's salvation, friend, the judgment of God awaits the person that goes into eternity not saved. Born in a Christian home won't change it a particle. Born in the outside doesn't change it either. That's why the Bible declares, and I believe God gives every person a chance before they go into eternity. Maybe not in a clear way that we would think of the gospel being preached, but I believe God brings to every person's attention their need of God. And God is bringing to your attention tonight, friend, in this meeting, your need of God's salvation. We hope you get the message. We hope before you leave this building tonight that you will go away understanding, I need to be saved. And friend, we want to tell you tonight there's one who died that you might be saved. His name is Jesus. And He died And he came into this world and he died on the cross that he might forgive your sins. We trust that you might come to him tonight and receive him, this great salvation. Great because of who provided it, God. Great because of the scope that it takes in the whole world. And it takes you in tonight, friend. It's a personal salvation. Don't put it off and don't miss it, whatever you do. Grasp it tonight. It can be yours for the taking. Him that cometh to me, or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I will pray. Father, we bow at the close of our meeting tonight and thank you for the privilege again of sounding forth the message of the gospel. Though sometimes we fail in our presentation of it, yet we pray that it might please thee to use thy word to the awakening and salvation of precious souls. We think of boys and girls, and we think of men and women. We think of fellow travelers to eternity, and how quickly, Father, the little journey of life could be over just when we're not expecting it, and yet could come to an end so quickly. And so we pray that souls in this meeting tonight might weigh up the matter in the light of eternity, and that they might be put in a hurry to be saved. We're thankful that it pleases God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so bless thy word. Take us home in safety, but follow thy word home tonight and deliver souls, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing number 91, a couple of verses of number 91. Our meeting is over. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior. You have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn unto the Lord? We'll sing verses 2 and 4 of number 91, and our meeting is over. Verses 2 and 4. Remember, the meeting's announced in the will of the Lord.